Welcome to Sportsmen of Colorado, Colorado's premier outdoor radio show, heard every Saturday afternoon on KLZ 560, with insights on hunting, fishing, archery, guns, and ammo from Colorado's top outfitters, featuring the industry's leading experts on how to enhance your experience in the great outdoors. Now, here's your host, Scott Whatley.
Good afternoon and welcome to Sportsman of Colorado. Thank you so much for joining us. We've got a great show lined up for you today. Got our good friend Kevin Flesh in studio. Kevin, how are you doing, bud?
I'm doing fantastic, Scott.
Great to see you.
It is. We were on vacation last week. Did a little fishing down in the Bahamas, so I'm sure we'll talk about that.
But absolutely.
What a beautiful day to be in Colorado today.
It is. It's absolutely gorgeous. Rockies home opener yesterday, and Rockies won. Good game. And we're actually going to be down there tonight and hopefully see another win. Before we get to our guest today, let's bring on one of the reasons we're even on air, and that is due to Lynn Lyle Chevrolet, great sponsors, great friends of our show, and Mr. Dan Johnson. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How is everybody?
We're doing good. We're doing great. Yeah, Kevin went to the Bahamas and did a little fishing, so jealous there a little bit.
I heard that. I'm jealous. That's where I want to be.
Well, you just gotta set aside the time, Dan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I know. I come to this place 6 days a week. I need to take a break.
The fish aren't biting at Lynn Lyle, but the cars are selling. Yeah,
the cars are selling.
Absolutely.
Yes, they are.
Yeah. So what's going on today out there?
Oh, we got tons of incentives. A 16% deal off on the new. We're rocking and rolling with that. We did, I think, 10 new yesterday. And, yeah, it's just a great deal for the consumer. So, give us a call. And I think I have 450 cars out here. So I got the inventory. So we're ready to go.
Wow. Again, Lynn Lyle, right off of Colfax and 225, drive east and pay the least, has been their tagline for many, many years. And I'm telling you, buying a new vehicle, pre-owned vehicle, should be fun. It should not be hard. And love the way they do business there at Lynn Lyle. And that's what we always hear from all the customers that we have go out there. It's just, that was the easiest transaction I've ever done. And truly a lot of fun. And Dan, you can help. I talked to someone yesterday and said, my credit's just not perfect. But I said, hey, still give them a call. You know, can't promise you anything, but a lot of people's credit isn't perfect that you're able to help.
Oh, absolutely. We are on East Colfax, so we're good at it.
Yeah.
You know? We get things done that, people think that they're a lot worse than they are. So,
yes,
and the banks are buying. The banks need to loan money. So that is not a problem. Give us a shot.
Sure. And, Kevin, you've used their body shop a couple of times.
Absolutely.
You're a good guy.
And I have, too. So, yeah. But
not running into anything. Yeah. Just, I shouldn't say that. We may have had a couple of issues. My wife runs into things. I don't run into them. But you guys have been great and really professional. I mean, overall, the whole dealership. And we've had a really positive experience. And we really appreciate that, Dan. It's so nice, especially in my practice, too, sending folks over to them for the body shop when people get into car accidents and things. And I know they're going to get taken care of.
Yep, absolutely. Yeah. So, Dan, what's happening with the 17 Silverados? When will, you think there are going to be any changes to the 18 that's coming out? Any word on that?
Very little changes on the 18. So, I think there's slated for the 19 to do kind of a major change in them. So, but the truck now is, as you know, because you're driving one, it's just fantastic.
I love it.
It's quieter, gets better gas mileage than our competition. It's just a great truck. And I should mention, too, the auto show is this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
So if anybody wants to go out and do some comparison out there, it's at the convention center. And, Chevy's got a big presence with electric cars and everything else out there.
Cool. Well, I'm telling you will not find better folks than at Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. Again, they'll take care of you. If you find it, I always tell you, if you find the vehicle you like and you're fair-minded, I promise you, you'll drive away in that vehicle. They will just take great care of you and do everything they can. And also, if you've got a vehicle, maybe you just want to sell. Don't do all the things on the internet that's going to get you in trouble, Craigslist and all that junk, have a bunch of wackos come into your house. Take it over to Dan. They'll buy it. He'll just write you a check for it. And so, and always very fair pricing there as well. Hey, Dan, thanks a lot, man. And I will get over. I was trying to get by there this week a few times and just kept having things come up. But, man, I'll get by and see
you. I know. All right. Thanks, guys. All have a good weekend.
Uh-huh. Thanks, okay. Dan.
That's Dan Johnson, Lynn Lyle Chevrolet. Man, I'm telling you, if you haven't driven a Silverado, you got to drive them. They're awesome. Well, in studio today, glad to welcome a good friend and relatively new friend over the last couple of years, all through our show and just different great people you meet in this industry, and that is Henry Ferguson. Henry actually knew each other in a past life called Furniture Business. I was a corporate sales manager for Jake Jabs for a number of years at American Furniture, and Henry's in the furniture business as well. And so we kind of had some ties back through there, but it's been great to reconnect. So, Henry, thanks for being with us today.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Scott. Always a pleasure.
So let's talk just a little bit about Arch, because, I mean, now you'll shoot something with a rifle, I assume. I mean,
I'm not prejudiced.
Okay, yeah. You're an equal opportunity employer.
Absolutely. Yeah. All right. Absolutely.
Archery is kind of a big thing for you.
That is a big, significant part of my life, you bet.
Okay.
You bet.
So let's talk just a little bit about, you know, how you got started. I mean, let's just admit, rifle hunting can be a lot easier.
Well, there are definitely more effective and higher percentage ways of going about hunting. There's no question about that. You know, the things that drew me to archery, originally my mom was married to a guy who was a bow hunter, and I thought, hey, that'd be a good way for us to be able to bond. And it worked out pretty well until I beat him once, and that, you know. But anyway, the reason I love archery and bow hunting so much, I mean, you know, Ted Nugent talks about that mystical flight of the arrow, and it is awesome. You know, when you see that shot breaks and you see that arrow just tracking right into the target, there's nothing like it. But really, the season dates are awesome. It tends to be an early season. You
good
get
weather.
See the leaves change. You're not freezing out there. It's an awesome time of year to be in the woods.
Right. So I thought we'd kind of go through some different steps today, and you know, Kevin too is going to chime in on some things with archery, but just kind of give us an intro to archery. So let's say, you know, we've got that guy or gal out there that just saying, you know what, I've heard so much about this, I want to get into this, I don't even know where to start. So what do you do?
Well, depending on where you live in the state, there's great pro shops all around the state. I mean, here on the Front Range, we've got a couple of them that are just outstanding. Mm-hmm. You know, one of them, I mean, the shop I shoot at a lot is No Limits Archery up in North Denver with Phil Mendoza.
Right.
He's got great bow mechanics there. One of them who's actually so committed to it that his name is Bo. That's pretty impressive. There's always top-notch people there. And the most important thing is to go to a pro shop and get your equipment properly fitted to you.
And I think that's one thing. And, you know, I mean, we all shop at some of the big box stores, so I'm not saying everyone's like this. But it is getting harder and harder to find knowledgeable people in some of the areas there at a gun counter, archery counter. You know, they may move a guy over that was just selling boots yesterday, and now they stuck him in the archery counter, and the guy's never even shot.
You see it every day. Yeah. You see it every day. And truly, I can't stress enough how important it is to have a properly fitting bow. Mm-hmm. You know, you think of something like a half an inch. Well, a half an inch in your draw length, I can legitimately feel an eighth of an inch difference in my draw length. And you know, when I'm at full draw, I can feel it. I'm going to be bouncing around the target more. My sight pin's never going to settle down. I just go back and twist up put a twist in the string, and all of a sudden, bam, everything's right with the world again. And so it's important to have somebody who can work on your bow who you trust, and somebody who can really truly fit that thing properly too.
Right. So a lot of different models, makes, I mean, how do you go about picking?
Well, I'll tell you, the way I did it this last year, I actually changed bow companies this last fall.
Oh, okay.
And I'd shot Hoyt for 8 years, and just through a couple of things, I decided, you know what, it's time for a change. I wanted to see what else was out there, and I shot the flagship model bows from 8 different manufacturers. And I did that by going to 4 different archery shops here in Denver and just test shooting bows. And I've always told people that when you shoot the right bow, it will find you. It will choose you. You don't choose it. It literally will choose you. And as soon as it gets in your hand and you reach full draw, man, it just feels right.
Right.
And when I shot the Prime Synergy this year, that's absolutely what happened for me. I hit full draw, and that thing was, it felt like an old, just like an old shoe. You know, it was just comfortable. And I've shot it great. You know, that's what I recommend, though. Shoot as many bows as you can so that you can really establish what you're looking for in a bow.
Right.
You know, because your friends are going to, everybody's got a friend who's into archery.
Sure.
And, you know, some of these guys will be willing to mentor you, but it's important to note that not all mentors are created equal. It's, you know, a lot of people I notice learn how to shoot archery from their friends. Well, the problem is their friends aren't any good either.
Yeah. Right.
It's kind of like golf.
Absolutely. Yeah. So these bad habits and bad form techniques get passed down from friend to friend. And before you know it, nobody in your group can hit a target. So it's,
the other interesting thing is, too, is that the industry has changed so much. So I did a bunch of archery as a high schooler in my teens. And, I mean, that was now 25, 30 years ago. And the mechanics and everything else
night and day. Yeah.
And, you know, you talk about getting fitted correctly. Not only that is important, but also just talk about the bow weights and the draw weights and the things like that that you've got to consider all of those things. So, it's such an individual decision.
Absolutely true. And, you know, it's important, Kevin, because I started right about the same time. I mean, I've been shooting for, I guess, a little over 25 years now. And right now we're in kind of a renaissance with archery gear because there is so much great gear out there. And that's what I found by shooting 8 different bow manufacturers, is that I could have chosen any of them. There's a lot of really great bows out there. So, you know, you don't have to be brand specific. Just go in there and shoot them all.
Yeah.
The equipment is so good that it's, with proper instruction, if you work with a coach to get started out, and I think, I can't stress that enough, work with somebody who's good, you know, whether it's a somebody who's just a tremendous shot or, you know, a professional coach, work with somebody who can get you started with proper techniques. The equipment's so good nowadays that the learning curve is much shorter.
Wow. You're listening to Sportsman of Colorado. Henry Ferguson is our guest, going to be talking a little archery today. And then we'll also get into one of our later segments here with Kevin about his recent trip to the Bahamas, a little fishing as well. We got to take a short break, and we'll be back with more right after this.
I was injured in an accident. At first, I didn't worry about it too much. I mean, accidents happen, right? But then the pain started keeping me up all night. And these doctor's bills, they started piling up. So now I'm stuck with a bunch of bills that I can't afford. And on top of all this, the person responsible is just avoiding me altogether. Come to think of it, since my accident, it seems like no one wants to talk to me. I just don't know what to do.
Don't just talk to anyone about your personal injury case. Call me, Kevin Flesh, at Flesh Law to get a professional opinion. I will answer all your questions, and I will help you determine if you're entitled to compensation for your pain and suffering. I have the experience and knowledge to navigate the complicated maze created by the insurance companies designed to minimize your claim. If you've been injured in an accident, call me, Kevin Flesh, at 303-806-8886 for a free consultation to find out if we can help you get the compensation you deserve.
At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, we believe that all pets deserve to have a good life. And because we know that your pet will have many different needs throughout its life, we offer complete pet care services every day, all at one location. Whether your furry friend needs a checkup, advanced medical care, surgery, boarding, grooming, obedience training, food, care products, or toys, we are here for your pet 7 days a week. At Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, we know that you want the very best for your pet, which is why you can count on us to provide top-notch care in everything we do. We are certified with the highest rankings by the American Animal Hospital Association and hold a gold star rating with the Better Business Bureau. You and your pet can visit us Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 8 p.m., Saturday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and Sunday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. We are located at 8681 East Lincoln Avenue in Lone Tree. Learn more about us by visiting our website at lonetreevet.com or just give us a call at 303-708-8050.
Tired of walking into gun stores and seeing the same guns everywhere you go? Check out our sponsor, Old Steel Historical Firearms. Hi, this is Scott Whatley of Sportsman of Colorado. At Osteel, they specialize in the purchase and sale of historical firearms. Need to get your firearm collection appraised? They can help. Buy, sell, trade, and consignments are welcome at Osteel. Open 10 to 6, Monday through Saturday. Osteel Historical Firearms is located at 12 East Girard Avenue in Englewood. That's just two blocks north of Hamden off Broadway. Now you can own a piece of history at Osteel Historical Firearms. Call 720-662-7252. That's 720-662-7252. Check out their website, osteelguns.com.
Hi, Dan Johnson, General Manager at Len Lyle Chevrolet. You know, I hear it all the time. If you give me a good enough deal, I'll buy your vehicle. So here it is. A 2017 Crew Cab 4x4 loaded for up to $11,000 off MSRP. Or how about a 2017 Chevy Cruze? Sign and drive a lease for only $199 a month. Heck, that's cheaper than a used car. And we'll pay top dollar for your trade-in. So go east and pay the lease. Len Lyle Chevrolet, I-225 in East Colfax, or on the web at LenLyleChevy.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Rush to Reason with John Rush, weekdays from 3 to 7 on KLZ 560.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. My name is Scott Watley, along with Kevin Flesch. Glad to have a good friend in, Henry Ferguson, talking a little archery. And, you know, our whole purpose and goal in having Henry on a little bit early here in the year is we just all got our tags put in. Hopefully, if you did not get those put in, you're in trouble. April 4th was the deadline. Hopefully you got all your tags put in, and good luck to everyone with that process. And but you know, archery is the first season that hits us, and you don't want to wait till just the week before to start hopefully doing some of the things we are going to talk to you about today. And that's why we wanted to get Henry on. So Henry, let's talk about some of the things, you know, as a that really affects your shot, okay? And, you know, I was just trying to make some notes this morning and looking up some different things, and I think this is, to me, where everything starts, because whether you're golfing, you know, hitting a baseball, throwing a football, just from an athletic standpoint, back when one time I was an athlete, you know, your stance.
You bet.
And if you don't come up with a consistency about that, now, I also think people make mistakes, and I'm kind of getting two questions here in one, but I also think people only just stand there in that perfect stance in practice. And
two great points,
I don't know,
Scott,
of anybody that's ever shot anything standing there perfect, feet parallel, shoulder down, you know what I mean? I mean,
it's
you
extremely rare. It's extremely rare. Most of my shots come from my knees.
Yeah.
And, you know, for two reasons. Number one, it decreases your profile, you know, that the animal is going to see. It puts you down a couple feet lower. And it also decreases your wind profile. If, you know, the wind's blowing, it's going to blow you around a little bit less if you're on your knees. But it's important because, like you said, you do need to have a solid foundation. And you only get that through repetition.
Right.
And it's like, I assume it's like golf. I mean, I don't know.
You've got enough sports that you're not into golf.
Yeah, I'm not the right guy to ask about golf. I mean, it's... you know, it is a good walk wasted, but in my opinion. But truthfully, you need to have good mechanics to fall back on, because when you get into a high pressure situation, and I can't think of a higher pressure situation than sitting there for 3 hours waiting for that buck to stand up. When it stands up, oh my gosh, if you don't feel a surge of adrenaline,
right,
maybe you should pick up golf,
right,
because this hunting is not for you. I mean, it's for me. I feel it wash over my entire body, but the ability to put that to the back of your mind and get the job done is what's important. And that only comes from having enough repetition in practice to make, you know, to be able to make that shot consistently.
Right. Now, what about even when you draw? And we'll talk about the anchor point in just a minute, but
sure.
I was reading up something today and they called it elbow rotation.
Okay.
So, I mean, you see some people, they pull back, and of course it's hard to see on radio what I'm doing, but you see some people.
I can see it perfectly,
yeah,
Scott.
They
go
pull
ahead.
Back, you know, straight. You see other people, they do, you know, different things. I mean,
So elbow rotation, I think what they're really talking about is, and again, I'm going to illustrate this here perfectly, and everybody can see this because it's radio. But once you pull back and you hit your anchor point with your release hand, you kind of keep that elbow driving back, just a small amount. And that's basically what, it's kind of a dumbed down version of back tension, and that's what should fire the shot. And having that rotation against the back of the shot and pressure against the back end of the shot, when you get that right, it's amazing what that does to your pin. Mm-hmm. Because when you watch your pin, it can be dancing around down on that target. But when you get that back tension right, man, that dance gets real small.
Right.
And when it gets small, it gets hard to miss.
Mm-hmm. You know, we were talking about just going and getting the correct bow and everything else. Let's just talk about the release. I mean, nobody's shooting with their fingers and
very, very few. Yeah, unless, you know, the traditional guys are shooting fingers and stuff. But yeah, most of the compound guys are going to be shooting a mechanical release. And there's a number of different styles.
Right.
And you can spend as much as you want on one of those. You can spend $50. You can spend $250 on.
And is that the same? So when I was doing it, we were still using tabs and fingers back then, and you know, a few guys were using releases. But just talking about the release and the way that your elbow, I would imagine that that's also a mechanical issue with regard to the release itself, right? That some of the releases spin in a different way.
It can be, absolutely. A handheld release, your hand is going to be a bit more, most of the guys that you notice will have the back side of their hand more flat against their cheek.
Right.
And it's all about anchor points, because there's, anytime you're
the repetition
you're struggling,
that you're talking about.
And anytime you're struggling with your shot, I mean, I noticed lately, I've been at the range twice this week in the evenings, and I've noticed two things. I've been working, my shot just hasn't been quite as good as I wanted it to be lately. And so the last few months I've been working on that. And this week I went back to the basics, because there's two points where you interface with the bow. It's your bow hand, so your grip, and your anchor point. So as long as those two things are consistent, you've got a consistent foundation for a shot. Those are the two things that you need to go back and look at. And I mean, most of the time, when I watch people shoot at league night or at tournaments or whatever, I see a lot of bad technique. And if they went back and revisited those two things, they could improve their shot real quickly.
So how do you go about picking that anchor point? I see some, you know, people, they'll bring it back to a certain part on their jaw. I've seen people put a knuckle right behind their ear, you know, and the little indention there. So do you, once you bring the bow back, you just kind of figure out where it's comfortable?
Well, one of the cool things about the modern bows, the modern compound bows, is the draw stops on them give you a very solid wall. And Scott, we've talked about your bow. You're shooting a Hoyt carbon spider, right? Great bow. And that thing's got a good, firm back wall. Mm-hmm. So when you hit that wall, it's done.
Yeah.
It's not pulling farther. You know, it's where it's going to be. So that gives you that good starting point. Now, where you establish your anchor points on your face are crucial, because you need something that's repeatable, that you can find it with a glove on, you know.
You don't even think about it when you pull
back. Yeah, exactly. Right? And I do think about it. I draw back and I think, okay, I feel my anchor, then it's the shot, you know, and then it's working the shot. But I mean, for myself personally, I anchor with my release body right against my jawbone. And so it gives me that firm contact, and that gives me something that's very easily repeatable. Mm-hmm. And, you know, then you follow that up. Most people will have their nose touch the string and then their eye looking through the peep sight. So it's basically a 3-point anchor system.
Now, since Red's not with us, I'm going to tell you a story. Every time that guy picks up a bow for the first time, he'll have his left arm really, really straight.
Uh-huh.
And he will let go, and that string will hit him about mid-elbow down to his wrist and leave a whelp.
The big old
and
raspberry.
Basically, I just had to get him to cock his elbow out just a tad. And so, then when he does that, it doesn't do it. But now you see a lot of people, they'll wear a protection deal there. Because
wear an arm guard.
It smarts when it hits you.
Oh, no, it doesn't smart. It hurts like it hurts bad. We've all done that. Yeah. I mean, we've all seen, and if we haven't done it, you haven't shot enough arrows. Right, so. Right. But really, that's what I'm talking about on your bow grip. What you want, and again, this is a somewhat visual, but I'll try to describe this. So you've got your lifeline in your palm. Okay, everybody knows where the lifeline is. If you don't, check Google. So essentially, you want your bow grip to be on the inside, on the thumb side of your lifeline. So you want that bow grip to be going right down that thumb side, because what it allows you to do is it gets the base of your thumb, that bone goes straight back into your forearm. So you want bone-to-bone contact, because muscles will let you down, but bones will not. So once you get bone-to-bone contact there, then you get your bow shoulder low. And again, that gets that rested down into the socket, bone-to-bone. That gives you a more solid thing. But also notice where that gets my hand. Mm-hmm. That puts it out of the way of the bowstring.
Right. Yeah.
It takes a catastrophic mistake for me to hit my...
Well, and
with
Red, if he automatically goes to a straight arm, it's going to change his contact point when he actually shoots it.
Changes everything throughout the whole shot.
So then he's got to figure out how he's got to do it.
Being he likes to mostly shoot out of a truck.
Right.
No, I'm kidding. Red doesn't like to get cold or too hot. Yeah. The best blind for him is in a rolling vehicle.
Yeah. Red and I should hang out together. Yeah.
Our guest is Henry Ferguson. Again, you're listening to Sportsman Colorado. My name is Scott Watley, along with Kevin Flesh, talking a little archery. And, and there are some good places around, but truly Phil Mendoza at No Limits has been a terrific friend for us, a great help with our show. And, boy, if you are looking for a good place, and they do a lot for kids out there, too.
Boy, speaking of kids, Phil Mendoza is my son's favorite person in the world now.
He won a bow.
He just won a brand new Matthews bow.
Oh.
And not a low-end Matthews bow. He won a high-end Matthews bow because he shot the archery league. And every time you shoot it, your name goes in the bucket. You know, his dad's name was in the bucket like 14 freaking times. His name was in there once, and he won the brand new bow. So, I mean, hey, I'm as excited as can be for him.
That's awesome.
But that's a great thing he does, though.
And talking about that, the kids, the fun thing with this particular type of sports activity is you can get the kids out there really pretty early, and they get really good. That was the thing with growing up in Wisconsin. The winters are really long, and we had an indoor league that we got involved with, and I think I was in middle school.
Yeah.
And you know, Dad and I would go every Tuesday night. We'd go to league, and you get to see other people. You get to have a good time with a parent, and then it's a really fun activity, and you get to be really good shots.
Well, and you get to see some people. You get to shoot with a great mix of people,
right.
Broad range of skill levels, but being able to shoot with people who are really fantastic shots can be inspiring. You know?
And
you can learn a lot from
most of the people that. In our circles are really nice and helpful.
Oh, yeah.
Man, what am I doing wrong? They'll tell you in a nice way, like, you know, not demeaning and make you feel like an idiot. So that's
for sure.
Great, too.
Well, and there's some competition there, too, so that's always fun, you know. So
you
that just makes it just a more enjoyable experience for the family.
Absolutely.
You bet.
We got to take another short break. We'll be back with more. We're going to talk about just some common mistakes you can make in archery and much, much more right here on Sportsman of Colorado with Henry Ferguson. We'll be right back.
This is Red Merrill for Phoenix Weaponry. Phoenix Weaponry is a weapon manufacturer that services the firearm enthusiast. From precision ARs to suppressors, Phoenix Weaponry can make your dreams come true. Phoenix Weaponry is a full-service gun shop that offers gunsmithing, coating, and modifications to your own weapon. Phoenix Weaponry, family-owned and operated right here in Colorado. If you can dream it, Phoenix Weaponry can build it. Call today, 720-340-2496. Again, that's 720-340-2496. Or visit their website, phoenixweaponry.com. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and receive 10% off your custom-built weapon.
What if it was possible to train your body how to burn excess fat through natural homeopathic means? Dr. Julie Marchial uses a time-tested protocol to unlock unnecessary fat stores in your body, converting fat into energy so you can experience permanent weight loss. Because this remarkable method targets only your bad fat, leaving vital stores of necessary fat untouched, your body will begin to experience balance in a new and healthier way. As Dr. Julie leads you through her unique weight loss program, your brain will gradually relearn what it means to feel full and to feel hungry. You will find many of your old cravings simply disappear. Call Dr. Julie at Ascent Health Center today to find out how KLZ hosts John Rush, Scott Watley, and Dan Muir put their bodies to work for them with unbelievable results. Call 303-343-8800. That's 303-343-8800. Or go to AscentHealthCenter.com.
This is Scott Watley for my friends at Rampart Firearms in Sedalia. This is a great store. Family owned and operated. They buy, sell, trade, and consign firearms. You will find a great selection of new and pre-owned handguns, shotguns, and rifles. If you can't find the gun you want, Rampart Firearms will special order your gun at no extra cost. Found a gun on the internet? Rampart Firearms will do one firearm transfer and the background check for only $10 if you mention Sportsman of Colorado. Rampart Firearms, 720-468-0050. That's 720-468-0050. Located at Highway 66. In Santa Fe in Sedalia. Rampart Firearms opens 7 days a week. 720-468-0050.
Mobile Estate Planning with Michael Bailey. Wednesday afternoon at 2:30 during ATX. Ask the experts on KLZ 560 and 100.7 FM, The Source.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. If you're just joining us, my name is Scott Watley. Along with Kevin Flesh, we've got Henry Ferguson in studio with us. Now, if you're listening to us on Sunday, you are hearing a replay of our Saturday show, which is live from 1 to 2 every Saturday. And then on Sundays, you can hear us now from 9 to 10 a.m. on KLZ 560. Well, Kevin, before we get back in with Henry, a little archery. You did a little fishing there?
Yeah, a little fishing down in the Bahamas. So we were down in the Abacos, which are a chain of islands in the Bahamas. If anybody that's been to the Bahamas, a lot of times you think of Nassau and Freeport and sort of the big cities. We've been going down to this area of the Bahamas that's a little bit more secluded. It's kind of a pain to get to sometimes. We had to stay in Atlanta for an extra night this trip, but it's a beautiful place in the world. And we stayed on Elbow Key, which is this little town there called Hopetown, which is about a 8 mile boat ride across from Marsh Harbor, which is the big island that that you fly into. Did mostly so our good friends from Ross Reels gave me a reel that I'm going to be doing a review on, a Cimarron 2 fly reel. Took my 8 weight. It's a really nice reel, and especially for the price point. So it's about a $260 reel. Okay. Which if you're looking at good saltwater reels, it's yeah. at the lower end. So really, but some spectacular features on it, and was able to do some bone fishing. So didn't been down there enough that we rent a boat, and then I go off in the mornings when the family is sleeping and go find some bonefish and some other stuff. So did some of that, was able to put the reel through its paces, which was good. And I had an 8 weight St. Croix 4-piece rod that I just got, a new rod, because I broke my 2-piece St. Croix rod when we were going to Alaska last year.
Oh, that's right. That's
I broke the fly rod up in Alaska, so St. Croix has this great deal that is a lifetime warranty. So I called them, and they said, sure, we can give you a 2-piece. But it was an old enough rod that they're like, you know, we don't make that rod anymore. But I said, well, how about a 4-piece rod? And they said, sure. So I put it together with the St. Croix 4-piece 8-weight rod that I had, and spectacular. I'm going to do the review, and then I've got some pictures. The day that we took a bunch of pictures of me out in the flats was really windy, and that's not unusual in the Bahamas, but right. Was able to punch through the wind with the rod and the reel, and so super fun, and then was able also to get out and do some jigging for some grouper, caught some grouper and some other stuff, and okay. Just wandering around.
Were fish biting pretty good?
They were biting all right. You know, I've been down there probably 4 or 5 times, and so It's much like anybody else here. When you start going to places and you're kind of on your own, you just have to nose around a little bit and try to figure out where things are going on and what they're willing to hit. I've figured out the barracuda bite. So the other thing that I did one morning, we took down a inflatable stand-up paddleboard, which was really fun. If anybody's looking at those, I can give you some guidance on that. But so I was out paddling around, and then I was casting into the mangroves for on the paddleboard, and caught a couple of nice barracuda. And the thing with the paddleboard, with you get a bigger fish on, they take you places. So it took me into the mangroves.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh wow.
So that was pretty funny. So that's an interesting dynamic where the fish actually will take you into the trees. So had to battle that a little bit, but got through that, and so figured that out, and then figured out getting on some reefs and just a little bit more structure and jigging for stuff and on catching the bottom fish. So wow. It was a really fun trip, and And if anybody has any questions, certainly just go to our website and email me about it. But I'm happy to give a further explanation. But super fun spring break, and cool. You know, just getting out a few hours in the morning. You don't get to spend as much time, you know, like the archery hunting where you're out in the woods for days on end. I just had snippets of time. So, right. But I'm getting it figured out, and had a great time with the rod and reel combination. And so we'll get some pictures and stuff up.
Henry, much of a fisherman?
You know what? My poor son would love to fish, but unfortunately he was saddled with me as a dad.
Yeah. You know, everybody has their strengths and weaknesses. So
I met a guy that we're going to do a guided trip down around Gunnison this year.
Oh, yeah.
And get him into catching some fish that are bigger than, you know, his hand.
Yeah. Right.
I tell you, man, we can hook Austin Parr at Discount Fishing.
Is that right?
They're on Chatfield.
Oh, yeah. Oh, awesome. I live literally 2 minutes from Chatfield. So
that's
what we need to do. We'll get you up there.
Fiend.
Awesome. Yeah, that'd be great. That'd be awesome.
Yeah, I just saw it. Speaking of that, I just saw him on again with Chad LaChance. Fishful Thinker. They were fishing some. He just catches fish.
Yeah.
That's the bottom line. The guy's just fishy.
Henry Ferguson is our guest today, and again, talking a little archery, and we've gone through quite a bit this morning. But one thing I wanted to talk about, because, boy, I think you do this very, very well, and that's scouting.
I love it.
So talk a little bit about, you know, the importance of that, and how soon, you know, when do you start that here for the archery season, you know, and then are there some mistakes that you can even make in scouting?
Yes, there definitely are. You know, let's kind of start at the beginning. When would I start? If I wasn't coaching my son's lacrosse team, I would have started already. And I start by looking for sheds. Looking for sheds tells you what's alive. It tells you what made it through the winter, what made it through the hunts. And so I already have a hit list from last year of bucks that were either smarter than me, which isn't saying a whole lot because most of them are, but, you know, bucks that made it through that maybe we thought, you know, that buck needs another year or two. And hunting public land, I mean, just because we think they need another year or two, it sure doesn't mean anybody else does. And, you know, they may get popped at the first day of muzzleloader or rifle season. I mean, you know, honestly, we're passing some pretty good bucks. Yeah. You know, we've got...
I mean, I watch your pictures on Facebook, and dude, I'm like... shoot that.
So Scott's one of those guys on the muzzle loader of the rifle season would take care of that for you.
Hey, and he is well within his rights and in his right mind to do so. I passed one a couple of years ago that, oh man. Okay, so I made a mistake.
Still haunts you today.
He was a big deer, but
and they say never pass up. How is that? Never pass up on the first day what you would take on the last day.
I just couldn't disagree with that more. I mean, first of all, if you shoot something on the first day, you're done hunting.
Right,
You've got 364 days to think about it and to stress about it and to work on it. I mean, come on. I want my season to last a little longer.
Right.
I mean, I shot a deer on the second day of the season once and the third day of the season another time. And everything else after that's been at least a weekend. And that's... not necessarily by design. It's just a matter of waiting for that right buck that we've scouted to be in the right place. But normally I'd be out looking for sheds. So you find out what's alive. And then once 1st of June starts hitting, you start to see those new growth really start to take shape. And if you're not out scouting by the 1st of July, really need to reassess your priorities, because that's when you can start to see the bucks that are really going to be something.
And describe what you mean by scouting. What are you doing?
Okay, so for me, scouting is, I mean, we'll hike in and I've got my vantage points that I glass from. And glassing is a huge part of my hunting strategy. I spend a tremendous amount of time on high points just looking out there and seeing what's moving.
So are you spending a day?
Oh, I will. I mean, typically, I mean, you know, hey, I've got a job, I've got a family, just like everybody else who's listening to this. And so as a result, I mean, you have to kind of cut them short. I mean, I'll go out there and I'll spend a morning. Then, you know, I'll usually do one or two. I try to get out at least two mornings a week during the summer. That's my minimum. And if I've got a really big buck that I'm watching that I'm kind of babysitting,
well, it's more than that.
It's more than that. Yeah. I have a very understanding wife. Yeah. That helps a lot. But I do long range reconnaissance, and I watch them through the spotting scope or through binoculars on the tripod. And that's my goal, is to kind of learn their habits, and stay the heck out of their living room. And
right.
I don't want them to know that they're being hunted until they're being hunted.
Right.
And that's
so. When I brought up a mistake, you don't want to sit there and if you find a bedding area, what,
yeah.
go tromping through there and all the different things.
You know,
want to stay high and just watch.
There's one real well-respected mule deer guy who says early on in his scouting, he will go in and he will spook a buck twice. Because he wants to see where their escape route is.
Well,
I'm gonna make a mistake eventually anyway. So I'll see where that escape route is, or you know, coyotes will come through, or mountain lions, or whatever, and just kind of bump them if you're watching them enough. But yeah, truthfully, I don't want those deer to know that I even exist,
mm-hmm.
and I will stay. I'll walk in on a pattern, you know, on a route that kind of takes me through less, you know, desirable terrain and habitat for them. So I just kind of try to keep a low profile.
Right. So when we come to, you know, finding the place that you're going to set up and all that kind of thing. So talk about that a minute, of finding that proper place. Because if you got to remember, you're shooting a bow, you get up way too high where you're used to seeing, you ain't going to be able to shoot 500 yards, you know? I mean, so how do you go about then, once you locate them, finding that right place to sit?
Well, so basically most of my hunts are spot and stalk. So I'll wait for the animal to bed. And so, but they don't always bed in a spot that I can stalk them. And if it's a low percentage stalk, it's hard to do, but I'll put my toys away and hike back to the truck and come back and try to find them another day. Because if they bed in the wrong spot with the winds wrong and, you know, they're going to see you, they're going to hear you, there's just not a route to them, then you just got to kind of tip your hat and say, hey.
Not today.
Not today. Hopefully tomorrow.
Right. Henry Ferguson is our guest. Once again, you're listening to Sportsman of Colorado with Kevin Flesch. My name is Scott Watley. We're going to get Henry on several times here throughout this preseason, we'll call it here, for our big game season. And we'll be getting some other folks on a little later on about muzzle loading, rifle, all of that, and try to give you some great tips, talk about calling, all of that. So stay tuned. We got a lot of great shows coming up. We got to take a short break. We'll be back with more right after this.
Hi, this is Scott Watley for my friends at One Shot Gear in Englewood. If you are a hunter, you know that after a full year of training, shooting, and planning, when the season rolls around, you're lucky to get one shot at a trophy. At One Shot Gear, they've got you covered with the largest selection of premium hunting gear in Colorado, like Blosser rifles, Sitka gear, and Night Force optics. The One Shot Gear team has the experience, so they can help you find exactly what you need for the hunt of a lifetime. When only the best will do, choose One Shot Gear, located at 4720 South Santa Fe Circle in Englewood. One Shot Gear is your premium hunting gear headquarters. Call 303-284-3828. That's 303-284-3828. If Sitka makes it, One Shot Gear has it. They're the largest stocking dealer in Colorado. Ask for Grant. Tell him Sportsman of Colorado sent you. Mention Sportsman of Colorado and you receive 10% off of all clothing and boots. One Shot Gear is an official sponsor of Sportsman of Colorado.
If you're looking for great deals on outdoor equipment and clothing, we've got you covered. Hi, this is Bill Paddock, owner of the Outdoorsman's Attic, your outdoor gear consignment headquarters. You'll save 20, 30, 40, even 50% on previously owned outdoor gear for the fisherman, hunter, and camper. We also sell live bait, firearms, and ammo. If you're doing a little spring cleaning, bring in your gear to the Outdoorsman's Attic. We'll sell it for you and put cash in your pocket. You can also pick up your hunting and fishing licenses right here at the store. Your one-stop shop for all your outdoor gear needs is the Outdoorsman's Attic, located at 2650 West Hampton Avenue in Sheridan, Colorado. 303-781-3626. That's 303-781-3626. Or visit us online at outdoorsmansattic.com. Mention Sportsman's of Colorado and receive 20% off all your outdoor clothing.
Hi, this is Scott Watley. Let me tell you what I like about Stack Optical. They are truly one of the last optician-owned, family-owned optical stores. For over 48 years, Alan Stack has shown he really cares about making his customers happy. So at Stack Optical, you can be confident you'll receive personal attention, unlike anything you'd see at a corporate-owned store. Stack Optical has an on-site eyeglass production lab so they can put new lenses into your current frames. Whether you need office eyewear or a new set of shooting or golf glasses, Stack has the solution with the Stack Sport Pack. With well over 50 years of combined experience, Stack Optical will get to the bottom of your unique vision needs. Stack Optical in Cherry Creek near Colorado and Cherry Creek North. Give them a call today and ask for their $69 eye exam. 303-321-1578 or visit them online at stackoptical.com. I'm confident that when you meet the family at Stack Optical, you'll see the difference. Call them today for that $69 eye exam, 303-321-1578. That's 303-321-1578.
Hi, Dan Johnson with Len Lyle Chevrolet. And right now we're selling all 2017 Chevrolets at employee supplier pricing, plus all the rebates, for a total of up to $11,000 off on some vehicles. And we need your trade-ins, and we'll pay the highest prices anywhere, whether you owe money on it or not. Give us a chance. You won't be sorry. I guarantee you that nobody can sell you a Chevrolet for less than Len Lyle Chevrolet. Go east and pay the lease. Len Lyle Chevrolet, I-225 in East Colfax, or on the web at LenLyleChevy.com. Chevy, find new roads.
Welcome back to Sportsman of Colorado. My name is Scott Watley along with Kevin Flesch, Henry Ferguson in studio. Been really devoting today's show to archery. It will not be long, and hopefully everyone got their tags in, and everyone will be successful in that. I wish that would be true, but usually every year there's a lot of disappointed folks. Hopefully I'm not one of them myself. So Henry, let's talk. What do you think about our draw process as a whole versus other states that maybe you know other guys in, or you've put in other tags, other states? I mean,
I do. I apply in Utah every year. I've been building points there, and you know, truthfully, it's a. I think we're going to start to see some changes in the Colorado draw process. Right now, we're a pretty darn good value for non-residents as far as you know what the fee costs to draw to apply. It's only $3 a species.
Right.
You know, it's $10 in Utah, which still isn't bad.
Yeah.
But, you know, there's other states like Arizona where you have to buy the full on hunting license and then apply. So, you know, it's a pretty significant financial investment to throw it out there. And if just you don't choose up, to yeah. go hunt, you're just, it's an investment towards eventually drawing the tag.
Right.
But
right.
Colorado's got a pretty good draw. Truthfully, if you learn to understand the point system, our point system's pretty darn good.
Mm-hmm.
When you get enough points, you are almost guaranteed a tag, yeah. unless you're trying to draw moose, bighorn sheep, mountain goat.
Right.
Man, then it's tough.
Yeah, start that early.
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah,
oh,
you get moose especially.
That's terrific advice because seriously, I wish I would have started applying for those things years and years yeah. before I did. I mean, mm-hmm. I waited way too long before I jumped into the moose lottery, and now I'm eligible to draw a tag anywhere between now and the day I die.
Yeah, and that's a long time.
Yeah. Yeah, and I just hope I do.
No kidding. Talking about practice a little bit, and Kevin, we were talking about this during the break, and you know, yeah, if you got the room in your backyard to do it, get a couple buddies, do things. But what are really the best type of format for practicing for you?
For me, every shot I take during the year is in preparation for hunting. That's every single arrow I release is preparing me to make an accurate, quick, humane killing shot on an animal. So for me, I love doing 3D tournaments, 3D leagues, anything like that, where you can get out there and it gives you there's a couple of different benefits to doing this. First of all, it teaches you where to aim on an animal silhouette. It gets you used to putting your pin on something that doesn't have a bullseye.
Right.
Some people just sit there and shoot paper all year. And then when they try to transition over to shooting an animal, man, it's just so foreign to them. They don't understand where to put that pin and how to pick a spot. You know, picking a spot on an animal that you want that arrow to disappear in is just crucial, because if you don't, it's the old aim small, miss small theory. You know, thanks Mel Gibson for teaching
right.
us that one. But,
yeah.
You know, without that, I mean, if you're just putting your pin on an animal and hoping to hit it right in the sweet spot, you're counting on luck. And mm-hmm. that's something that just doesn't always come through.
Right. And what's your yardage that you will go from? I mean, I've seen people kill something at 3 yards, and I've seen people, and I've talked to people that are comfortable at shooting 80, 100 yards, you know, but they practice
yeah.
at that.
And I shoot year round. You know, I'm always working on my shot, mm-hmm. just refining that process and, you know, tightening that group size down. And, you know, I am comfortable taking a longer shot on an animal. And I definitely wouldn't recommend it for everybody. But, you know, when you've, again, the modern equipment does help us a little bit. It can make you a little bit more accurate, a little bit faster. But, you know, I've been, like I said earlier, I've been shooting a bow for 25 years, and I shoot a tremendous amount of arrows. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm not going to take that long shot on an alert animal that's looking at me, that's freaking out, you know, because
they're going to react before that arrow gets
there. Yeah, there's an above average chance that deer's not going to be there when the arrow gets there. Or if it is, it's not going to be where you need it to be.
Sure. So let's talk just a couple of things. We'll get through as many of these as we can. But, you know, so knowing your personal limit, I guess, would be the best way to put
it. Absolutely.
That. And that
yeah.
covers another whole show almost.
Sure does,
whether
yeah.
it be in your training, you know, because, man, you don't want to get lost out there or have a heart attack out
right.
there. And, again, this is another good time to start walking now, start
yep.
doing some things and getting in
yep.
shape for it a little bit. But let's talk about maybe when you first spot, you know, and we'll just use a buck for now, when to take that shot. I mean, do you, the very first opportunity, if they're looking at you, I mean, what if you got to readjust and then you're up, and I've been there where they're eyeball to eyeball to you,
yeah.
you know, and I've seen guys move when they're looking at them, and that's not what you want to do.
So I actually got in too close this year. I snuck in on a buck, and I'll show you guys pictures of it here in a minute, but I snuck in on a buck on a cliff that I could have spit on it. But I was so close, and he was bedded so close to the edge of the cliff that I literally could not get my arrow to clear the cliff.
Oh,
it was this pretty strange thing. But yeah, I mean, when I sneak in, ideally I'm going to set up around 40 yards, you know, 40, 50 yards. I'm very confident with that shot distance, and it gets me close enough that once you get closer than that, there's just, everything's amplified.
Right.
You know, the noise is that much louder. The scent is that much stronger. There's just so many things that can go wrong. So I like to set up out there just a little bit farther out, and I find that when the animals stand up, if they see me, they tend to be a bit more relaxed. I mean, if they stand up and see it 10 to 15 yards, you're in the strike zone. They know that, and they're gonna come unhinged.
Right.
Right.
So you're mostly stalking bedded animals is your
almost
best.
Almost exclusively. Yeah, that's my preferred technique. I mean, first of all, they're stationary for a little bit longer,
right.
so it gives you a bit more. You know, you've got a bit higher chance that they'll still be there once you get there.
Right.
And don't get me wrong, I've stalked to many empty beds. Got there and felt like I had just accomplished everything perfectly, and looked down and it's empty.
Wow. Now, do you also, once you find your spot, you're going to be in, and whether that be a tree stand or you know, and I realize you spot and stalk,
sure.
but I mean, I think it's important too also to kind of pre-range that area where you know, hey, that tree out there is at 60, that bush is at 40.
Absolutely.
Because when they step out there, I've seen guys, and I've done it too, pull up a range finder. They may see that movement, and now they're gone.
Yep.
Now, don't matter how close he was or whatever.
Absolutely so. Right. So when I sneak in, and I use my rangefinder a lot during my stalk, because I generally have a pretty good idea of where the animal is. So as I'm walking up to it, as I'm sneaking up to that spot, usually in my socks, by the way, just to reduce my noise I'm making, but I'll be ranging that thing constantly. Mm. And so again, you know, I want to be in that 40 to 50 yard range. So once I get to that point, I'll set up, and then I start looking at escape routes. Say, okay, if he stands up and he's right there, then there's my shot. That's option A, but
right.
option B to the right, he could come up over this chute here, and that could give me shots from this distance to that distance. If he goes option C, then that gives me shots from, you know, and you just want to range every bush and plant and tree out there so you can know.
Sure.
You know, because things can happen pretty quickly
yeah.
when they do stand up and it's go time. It happens to be go time pretty darn fast.
Right. You know, all the different scent products out there. What do you like?
I like the wind in my face.
Yeah.
I
personally think the thing that's going to mess up most hunts is them smelling you.
Yeah, yeah. You're absolutely right, and it's something that you just can't stress enough, having the wind in your face, because on these mountain hunts, I mean, if you're out there on day two or day three, you've been up and down the mountain a few times, you've probably built up a sweat once or twice or 10 times, you stink.
Right.
But what you have to do is you just have to keep, you have to minimize those things that can go wrong. And that's, at the end of the day, that's all you can do. You're just managing, the things that can go wrong.
Right. And closing us out again, we're going to get you back on, but in closing us out, just one thing I think we ought to hit real quick is, you know, especially with archery, following up too soon after a shot. That's, so you make the shot, stick an arrow in it.
It's a mistake I've made, Scott.
I think we all have.
Yep.
We jump out and start chasing, you know, thinking he's going to be laying right there.
The key word is chasing.
Yeah.
Well, and that's exactly right. So my last five animals, and I'm pretty proud of this, honestly, I have literally watched them go down. So that, it shortens that amount of time you have to wait. You know, when you see it get the jelly legs, you know, runs out and gets those jelly legs and it just tips over, then you know it's probably pretty safe for you to approach. But even still, you want to give it a few minutes and make sure they're down for good, because we've all heard the horror stories of somebody going up and grabbing that buck by the antlers that isn't quite finished off yet. And that can end badly. They're big, powerful animals, and you just don't want to put yourself in that situation. And most importantly, you don't want to bump them and have to go chase them again. That's just not good.
And final statement, I know you're big into, like I say, kids, you got your kids that you get out. So talk about just the importance of that real quick. It was getting to spend that time in the woods or on the water with them, whatever.
That's where you get to know them the best. When it's just the two of you, and, you know, my son will jump out of bed at 3 o'clock in the morning to go scouting with me anytime he can. And it's awesome for me, because there's nothing like feeling the sunrise behind you and warming up your backs as you're sitting there glassing and looking for deer, to build that relationship. And it's a great thing. But, you know, that brings up one last point.
Sure.
If I could.
Absolutely.
We've got to make sure that these hunting opportunities are still there for our children. Mm-hmm. And this is something that I've become really, really passionate about recently. And it's, you know, my son will be old enough to hunt next year. And it's something that I've only been waiting on this for 11 years and we're excited about it. And, you know, I've become really involved this year. I've gotten involved with the Colorado Bow Hunters Association, Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, Mule Deer Foundation. All of these organizations are working hard to preserve our hunting heritage. And I just encourage everybody to spend that money. Go to ColoradoBowHunting.org, join the Colorado Bow Hunters Association, join these organizations that are working hard to preserve our hunting heritage, and get involved.
Right.
Well, Henry, it's been great. We'll do it some more.
Thanks for having me, Scott. It's been a lot of fun.
Once again, our show today was brought to you by Lynn Lyle Chevrolet, an extra special sponsorship from No Limits Archery, as well as Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center, where they believe all pets deserve to have a good life. LoneTreeVet.com, 303-708-8050. We've trusted our pets to these fine folks for a number of years now, and I promise you're looking for a great veterinary medical center, place to board your pets when you're off hunting, a vacation, whatever, they do it all right there at Lone Tree Veterinary Medical Center. Again, that number is 303-708-8050. So thank you all for joining us today. Kevin, thank you.
You bet.
We'll
Thanks, Scott.
We look forward to some more fishing stories from you.
Absolutely.
And again, we'll get Henry back on. If you've got questions, we'll do questions for Henry. Shoot me an email, scott@sportsmanofcolorado.com, and then we'll get a list of those. Next time Henry's on, we'll go through there and help you out. And then get over to No Limits Archery and see them as well. Hope everyone has a great, great weekend and a fun day. And leave it right here on KLZ 560.
Expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.